Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, June 17th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 25, the third paragraph. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, through one paragraph ending, willing to make the effort, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Mary T., 12 Traditions, Leela S. Readers of the text, Eileen M., Lisa N., and Dana P. The reference number for Sunday, June 16th, is 21,490. That's 21490. And for this morning, Monday, June 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,491. That's 21491. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Loretta M., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. A thank you so much to everyone who has been of service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P., and I'll now ask Leela S. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Leela S., recovered in Missouri. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service today.
Thank you so much, Leela S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 25, the third paragraph. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, through one paragraph ending, willing to make the effort. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Eileen M. to read and then share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle-of-the-road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. Wow, there's a lot here in this paragraph that you could share on. But what I'm saying here is that there's two choices that we're presented with. One, we continue to get ease and comfort through compulsive overeating and blot out reality and die in the illness, or two, we can seek spiritual help. And for me, you know, I have had to take this disease seriously. That was really the first step in my recovery because, you know, I got here and I was pretty much a normal weight. I was just eating compulsively, and I was restricting. But, you know, I pretty much, things looked good on the outside, and I just, you know, I didn't take this seriously. But I was miserable, and, you know, yeah, life was becoming impossible. I used to wake up in the morning, and I would just dread every day. I mean, every single day I was miserable. And I had no idea why. You know, I came to this phone meeting, A Vision for You, 8 years ago, and I heard the message, and I heard a message that I've never heard before. You know, I've been in program for decades, and I just never heard it this way. And, you know, I realized that I wanted what you all had, like more than anything else. And so that, you know, I decided that I was going to do what was suggested for me to do, that, you know, you all had done. And, you know, I was beyond human aid long before I realized it. I really believe that line where it says no human power could have relieved our addiction. And, you know, if I think back, it was really like, you know, my old attitudes and beliefs about life. That's what was making my life impossible, is my old beliefs and just how I, you know, my whole perspective on life. And, you know, I had to be really willing and I had to be desperate to go to any length. You know, my sponsor said, are you willing to go to any length? And I really had to be desperate, because if you're not desperate, you're not going to be willing to do the effort that this requires. You know, it does require effort. And by making effort, what I mean is, it means I'm going to be very uncomfortable. And, you know, I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't like that. But this is not a comfortable process, but, you know, the rewards of it, I mean, the freedom and the transformation as a result of the steps is just, it's worth anything that, you know, I had to do. I just, you know, it's just incredible just to realize that, you know, I have 8 years of freedom from compulsive eating. It's just such a miracle. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen M., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Susan G., Los Angeles.
Susan G.
Rohan.
Deborah
Chan.
I heard Rohan. And who else?
Jan C., Arizona.
Jan C.
Deborah G.
Kendall H., Pennsylvania.
Deborah G., Kendall H.
Joan Marie M.
And Joan Marie M. And let's go ahead and stop there. So I have Susan G., Rohan, Jan C., Deborah G., Kendall H., Joan Marie M. Susan G., please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Susan G., recovered in Los Angeles. Thank you, Eileen, for getting us started, and everyone else has been of service today. And if you are still struggling, what nuggets? We have been reading on page 25. So if you are a serious alcoholic, as we once were, I am, which is why I'm here and why I'm here decades later, there is no middle-of-the-road solution. I came to Overeaters Anonymous in my 20s. And you said to me, are you willing to go to any lengths? And I'm thinking, have you seen what I look like? Of course I am. Just give me your food plan and I will be okay. A food plan is a middle-of-the-road solution, and there was no God in there. There was me, piece of paper, ticking off boxes, and having a scale out every now and again because I was very middle-of-the-road with it all. And this also promises me that as we once were, as we were, that I don't have to live there in the middle anymore. I can live in the center of the herd with all of you. And this paragraph brings together for me what it's been telling me since we've read, there is a solution. And one of them is the leveling of pride. And at this point, as was mentioned, I have to set aside everything I think I know, which is also very, very much. And I don't want that other alternative. And life had to become very intolerable. Even though I had a good job, I keep a nice home, I did my hair and makeup wearing my size 26 dress, on the inside I was dying. And I wanted to blot all of that out, but it didn't work. It didn't work. All the Shavasana and yoga, all the deep breathing I was doing, nothing. And I had to accept the spiritual help that you offered, because again, in another paragraph, you promised me that this work is going to revolutionize my whole attitude towards those who I walk on this planet with and towards God's universe. And that is what it is all about. So if you are still suffering, please don't leave before your miracle. Make that decision now and please trudge with us. Thank you so much for letting me share this morning.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from Los Angeles. Rohan, please share with us, followed by Jan C.
Hey, this is Rohan S. From New Jersey, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks for having me on the line today. This brings me back to when I was in active addiction, and just where it says here in the reading, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation. That's what food was doing. It was blotting out the consciousness of how food itself was, you know, running and ruining my life. I just would remember, especially the last year or two, just waking up in the morning and within the first 3 seconds knowing that I had already failed because I needed a really, really giant breakfast. And that breakfast was going to put me in a coma. And then when that wore off, I would need a really, really giant lunch, and so on, until I got a little bit of relief from going to bed if I didn't have crazy stomach issues. You know, it says here there's no middle of the road solution. You know, there's times even in recovery where I'm like, okay, I'm willing to give up all my trigger foods, all the foods that set me off, but I don't want to give up the volume. I want to have all the carrots and broccoli in the world. You know, that's sometimes where my mind takes me. It doesn't work. It doesn't work because I have absolutely binged on the healthiest foods on the planet. And I'm not here to be healthy. I'm here for freedom. I'm here for recovery. And as stated in previous shares, only a power greater than me can do that. You know, it says here, this we did because we honestly wanted to, and we were willing to make the effort. That would have scared me reading that, because I knew that food was ruining my life, but, you know, there was a part of me that didn't honestly want to. I didn't really want to make the effort. I'm lazy by nature, you know? And so the thing that I had to recognize that I realize now is that I never thought I was desperate enough. I always thought there was a lower bottom that I needed to go to. Okay, I'm 250 pounds. Maybe I need to go to 500 pounds. Maybe I need to be one of those guys that goes to 1,000 pounds. But the thing was, is that I was always lying about my desperation. That's what I can realize now. Hindsight is 20/20 in a recovered state. I was always lying, you know? And so now I can say to myself, and maybe this will help the newcomer, pray for honesty about what my situation really looks like. And then pray to see that I'm truly desperate. Because if I'm coming to an OA meeting, then on some level, you know, that means this situation has become impossible. So with that, I want to thank everyone for coming to this meeting today. It takes a lot of courage. I love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohan S. from New Jersey. Jan C., please share with us, followed by Deborah G. Jan C., please star one.
So I'll start over. This is Jan C. from Casa Grande, Arizona. So grateful to be here today. Oh, this is a wonderful meeting, and what a terrific paragraph this morning, and the lead was so spot on. Last year, right about this time, I was in the throes of my disease again, eating things on the confectionaries that just absolutely were not for me, and my mind was really nutso. You know, my husband was very ill, and I thought, how can I be here for him if I don't get my act together? So I went on to a big book study meeting out of Scottsdale, and within a week put my name in the chat and got a new sponsor. And oh, my goodness, what a revolutionary change in me. I now have 10 and a half months of clean abstinence. I had to work the steps. I had to have that spiritual health. I got it through my higher power, through working the steps with my sponsor. In my fifth step with her, having done the fourth again, I shared some things, you guys, that I thought I would absolutely have to take to my grave because I was so embarrassed about them. What a freedom. What a freedom. And the bottom line is I need to call on my higher power every day, keep working the steps, sponsoring, coming to meetings. I have to have moderate eating. That's abstinent eating for me, balanced, and I have to have safe foods that I can eat. And my higher power leads me to that. I don't ever want to be where I was in 2001. I nearly died of this disease. I want to remember that. I don't want to go back there. I want to remember the summer. I don't want to go back there. And thank you, everybody, for your support. I really was desperate, and I am so happy that I'm not fighting any of those alcoholic foods anymore, and that my higher power is always with me through you guys, too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jan C. from Arizona. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Candle H. If you happen to be just joining us, we're talking about page 25, that third paragraph. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, through one paragraph ending, willing to make the effort. So Deborah G., please share, followed by Candle H.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dawn, for your service this morning and everyone's service making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers and all the shares. Thank you so much for 12-stepping me this morning. They've been wonderful. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And I was thinking about all the times of seriousness with this disease that I'd have glimpses of it, you know, like the drivenness, the mental obsession, the lies I kept telling myself, glimpses, and then seeing the behaviors, taking food out in the parking lot and eating it, where a woman had to hide some of the food from me, you know, the insanity, my relationships, I wasn't there with people. I didn't care. All I cared about was the food. And like was shared, my head was so screwed up with just insanity over insanity and continuing to blot that out. It was awful. What a way to live my life, you know. And then when I finally was able to wake up, got conscious and honest with myself, was I able to see reality, because I wasn't living in reality. I was living in my own little bubble of disease thinking. And when I did the work, I saw what was going on. And I said, I finally admitted to myself, I don't want to live like this anymore, and I can't. And I got myself a sponsor in OA Visions. She had done a special edition. And I thought, oh, wow, I'd love to have her as a sponsor. And I called her and she said she would sponsor me and take me through the steps quickly. And it was in doing that, that this was done to me, not by me. You know, going through that experience, getting that transformation, getting connected to my divine loving power presence, that's a mystery. And then being open, opening me up to be open to helping other people. Because I wasn't. I was so stuck in that self-centeredness. But taking myself through that when she did, it opened me up to be able to do that. Oh, I think about it. I can't even put into words. It's hard to articulate how stuck I was in that and how free I can take. Thank you. And how free I am now. I'm so grateful. Thank you all.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Kendall H., please share with us, followed by Joan Marie M., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. This is Kendall H., a food addict in recovery in Pennsylvania. I think this is the paragraph that sums up my bottom in December. I had gone to OA for the first time at age 20, and I just turned 40 in May. And what was happening was this: life was becoming impossible. I'm in my bedroom right now, and the impossible part was like me in the same bedroom on the couch, just listening for footsteps in the hallway and feeling this burning hatred in my chest because these people were in the way of me eating. And when they weren't in the way of me eating, they were forcing me to recognize that I exist and be conscious and be awake to what was happening, which was that I couldn't take care of my children. I have a 6-year-old and 3-year-old at the time, 5 and 2. And I knew the Big Book. I had been introduced to it, and I knew these words. And ultimately, I didn't want to blot out the consciousness of my intolerable situation anymore, but I couldn't stop myself from doing it. So I took one small action, which was to reach out by text to somebody I knew had received the gift of 9 years of abstinence. And from there, it was like my doorway to spiritual help. And I will also add that accepting spiritual help meant accepting other tiers of support as well, including a week of intensive treatment to support me, treatment for food addiction, to support me in obtaining physical abstinence, which I could not sustain on my own. And God has given me willingness to work through all 12 steps. I have 2 sponsees now, and I have 5 months of abstinence after 19 years in and out of OA. So as a chronic relapse person, it just means that this book is for me. And it means that I need much more support than I ever thought I did. And I think one of the most useful things that I was told in early January by another mentor in this program with 7 years of abstinence is that all I had to do was surrender to the help, to the level of support
time
that I actually needed. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kendall H. from Pennsylvania. Joan Marie M., please share with us. Star one, Joan Marie.
I thought I was. There we go. All right. Joan Marie, recovered by the grace and power of God from compulsively overeating. Serious alcoholic. Yeah, I was the real deal. Totally, absolutely powerless over food. And though I had a good relationship with God, well, faith, I still put that food in front of God, and so therefore my reception was blocked. God was there all the time, but the fog of the food kept me from hearing clearly. And once I put down the food, what a difference. The fog lifted, I could hear clearly, and I had peace. I was at my son's the other day, and they know, I've told them before about it, you know, that I don't eat sugar of any form. And his girlfriend handed me these big cookies, homemade, and so forth and so on. And I said, no, I said, I cannot eat that. And they don't get it or don't want to get it, but it doesn't matter. I get it. After many years of trying the same thing, eating over and over, the same things that caused the craving, and I got the same result. I couldn't stop. And no matter what the reason was, I had 2 problems then, the same one, and then I couldn't stop eating. And through no return through human aid, I reached that region. I knew that it was only God, but I was still not willing to give up the alcoholic foods. And once I cried out and said, God, I can't do this, I need help, and you know, and I surrendered totally. Surrendered my whole life. Do it your way. My way never worked. And so I'm so grateful. Accept the spiritual help. But I have to do my part. I have to be willing to do the work, to work through the steps with a recovered sponsor, do what she said, and then I have to keep on doing. Yesterday I had another lesson in the food thing. Got very sick. It was a legal thing for me to eat, but I knew the Lord was telling me, put it down. And so I had to get sick over it. And again, it did not break my abstinence. It was okay food, thank you, for me to eat at that time, but yet it wasn't healthy. So with that, I pass. Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, page 25, the third paragraph. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, through the end of that paragraph, willing to make the effort. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Dorita P.
Janice.
Was that a Janice?
Yes, Janice K.
Janice K. And the other ones I missed. I'm sorry.
Dorita P.
Dorita P. And I heard a Pearl.
Pearl R.
Pearl R. Perfect. Janice K., Dorita P., Pearl R., Nancy.
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Christina M.
Christina M. And I'll take one more name. I have Janice K., Dorita P., Pearl R., Nancy L., Christina M. Was there one other person? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Janice K., please share with us, followed by Dorita P.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. There was a statement made earlier in an earlier chapter that the alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. It seems to me that this paragraph is a really intense and graphic description of the unlovely creature in his cups or her bags or her crumbs or whatever. It also occurs to me that the willingness to work this program is largely motivated by the fact that at some point, by the grace of my higher power, I was willing to look my unlovely creature. And I think that that's possible because of the action of the steps. In the third step prayer, we ask to be relieved of the bondage of self. One way of looking at the bondage of self is to say, I can look at the unlovely creature and know that that is not the limit of who I am. I can look at the various forms of unloveliness in my life and say, maybe there's more. Because a power greater than myself is what I need to get there. In steps 4 and 5, I look at the unlovely creature, and by the grace of God, I can get through it, and I can show the unlovely creature to God, myself, and another human being. In steps 6 and 7, I can look at the unloveliness and become ready and willing and ready to release the unloveliness to God. The 7th step prayer says, I give myself to God today, the good and the bad. He's got all of me, lovely and unlovely. Step 8 and 9 show me that I can be more than the unlovely creature and specifically how to go about that. 10, 11, and 12 means that I get to live in an entirely different way, in a whole new version of reality. And when I look at the unlovely creature, I can love the poor thing because it did its best. I deeply appreciate this program and all of you. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Dorita P., please share with us, followed by Pearl R., and let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita P. I'm grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everyone or everybody does not get this opportunity. For whatever reason, I'm grateful I have a seat here. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. And that applies to me. I'm in relapse, I guess you can say. And I guess I say it like that because I am taking some steps, like being on a meeting today. I started back saying a third step prayer every day, like I used to be in the habit of doing. And that part where, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. That part there, to do with me as thou wilt. And just, you know, feeling like I'm really open and really available. But like the woman said before me, you know, alluded to, like, how available am I really? Because I'm blocked. I'm blocked from, you know, I believe I hear some things from God, but I don't, you know, because I've been abstinent before, and I remember how clear the line was, how clear my mind was, and it was just a wonderful feeling that I'm working to get back to. So I think that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorita P. Pearl R., please share with us, followed by Nancy L.
Hi, this is Pearl R. from Arizona. And yes, I definitely am a serious addict and alcoholic and food addict. I'm not even 5 feet tall, and I was pushing 400 pounds at one time in my life. And I was eating a cake a day, gallon of ice cream, 5 candy bars, and eating out 3 times a day. And I know that to this day that the 12 steps, sponsors, and OA has saved my life. I have learned from this program that God has to be in the high place, that people will fail me. They are not God. That I have to put God in the high place or I will be in a low place. And I don't care to ever go back to that misery and hell on earth ever again. And I'm thankful there is freedom today. I don't have to be in a deep, dark place of death. I can be alive and I can be a blessing to other people. And I'm thankful that God has brought me to this program and God has healed me. And God has delivered me, and I don't care to ever go back to that the disease and all its evil and all its destruction. I just want to stay free. I want to stay sane. I want to stay sober, and I want to stay in a good, healthy place and love my life and love who God has created me to be. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Pearl R. from Arizona. Nancy L., please share with us, followed by Christina M.
Thank you, Dawn, and welcome, everyone. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered for today. If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there's no middle-of-the-road situation or solution. I was a middle-of-the-road girl all my life. And I was overweight from 5 years old to 55 years old. But I kept thinking that if I go to this pay and weigh, if I just go long enough and pay enough and stay in every meeting, I'm going to get the weight off. And I did. At one time, I got it off. And, you know, I thought, I'm just like all you other people. because I saw some come in, get the weight off and keep it off. But you know what? In 2024, I pulled in my garage. There was nobody home. I pulled in the garage. I looked down at my lap, and I had all kinds of wrappers all over my lap. Well, where did those come from? Must have been me. I think maybe I need some help because the buttons on my blouse are getting tighter and tighter, and I'm eating and eating and eating. And what's wrong with me? They told me at this pay and weigh if I would just go to work for them, then I would keep it off. Well, I went to work for them, and nothing's working. And like it said here, life was becoming impossible because I had one foot on the side of the fence. It said I'm just a heavy eater, but then on the other, my foot on the other side of the foot saying, you know, you are down and out food addict, Nancy, and there's no hope for you except the 12 steps. There's no hope for you. You need to give up the pay and way. It does not work. And I did. I came into the room screaming and kicking and saying, it's not there, it's not there. But I am living in a normal body weight today, thanks be to God. And I'm doing this work in the steps. I'm sponsoring. And I trust my God every day. Just give me one more day, God, one more day. This is the answer for me. It can be the answer for you if you're struggling. I just stop looking at all the worldly ways to go. Go this route. Give it your all. And for me, when my doctor says, Nancy, your heart loves your weight, I got to just say, glory to God, because it's nothing I'm doing. I mean, I'm doing it, but the power is coming from God. Finally, I'm no longer living in sanity. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. Christina, please share with us.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and thanks everyone who's joined service at this meeting today. My name is Christina M., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Massachusetts, and I'm so just grateful for the opportunity to share on this paragraph today, because this paragraph really, they're all great, this whole book is amazing, but this paragraph for me really changed things for me. When I came back to program, when I came back to OA about 3.5 years ago, we were in this chapter, at this meeting, in this chapter. And in December of 2020, we arrived at this paragraph. And I had been in and out of the rooms for many years. I was in my late 40s. And I was just to do. I came back to OA. By some miracle, I found my way to this meeting. I don't even know how. I had been back for about 6 weeks, and we arrived at this paragraph in December of 2020, where it says, if you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. And what I've been told is that this is telling me there is no door number three. It's going to go one way or the other. If I have decided that I'm a real compulsive overeater, and nobody else can make that decision for me. And I had finally, after years in and out of this program, I had finally accepted that I'm the real deal. I'm a real compulsive overeater. It's only getting worse. It's not going away. And that this is telling me that there's only, there are two ways this can go. And the other way that this has been explained to me is that either the two alternatives are the disease is in charge or God is in charge. And when I, honestly looked back on my history with compulsive overeating, it was so obvious to me that the disease, from such a young age, the disease was in charge. I was never in charge. I thought that I was. I kept trying all these different methods, going all the pain ways, nutritionists, exercise, therapy, which work for people who are not real compulsive overeaters. But I could see that I was always, I was never in charge. It was the disease that was always driving the car or the bus, whatever you want to call it. And the other thing that really sticks out to me today is the solution, which is to accept spiritual help, not just ask for it, but accept it, and to accept that what is being offered to me is a gift. It's not a punishment. It's not something that I'm being sentenced to. This is a gift. This is a way out. And so I'm so grateful that I know that today. I know my time is almost up, but if there's anybody who's struggling, please stick around. This program works. There are so many people on this line who are willing to help. So thank you so much for your service, Dawn, and I'll pass with that.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina M. from Massachusetts. And we do have time for another person to share. If you haven't shared in the last couple days, if you'd like to give me your name. Would anyone else like to share on this paragraph?
Lisa N.
Lisa N., go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. I'm out taking a walk, actually, listening to all of you, and it has been a fantastic meeting this morning. Thank you so much for all the powerful shares. I could relate to so much that all of you said, and that's God's mercy and blessing on me because I don't have to do this alone anymore. And I haven't for a while, but it's just a reminder today to make sure to stay in God's will and purpose, which is to work my steps, work it with others, and be grateful. And that's really all I have to say. Thank you so much again.
Thank you so much, Lisa N. from Wisconsin. And we do have time for a couple-minute share, if someone would like to take that, who hasn't shared in the last couple days.
Kathy M. from Michigan.
Go ahead. It's yours.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kathy M., compulsive overeater from Michigan. And that statement about no middle-of-the-road solution just really hit home because I'm surrounded by people in my life who are not in program and who always say, oh, everything in moderation, everything in moderation. And I was, for years and years, I'm 59. Why can't I do it in moderation? Why can't I eat in moderation? And I finally got into the rooms in 2018, and I found this meeting, and I have an amazing sponsor, and I learned why I can't do it in moderation. And I'm a true compulsive overeater with a real addiction, and it's a miracle that I found a solution, the solution, through this program. So I just want to thank everybody for being on the line and for sharing your experience. And this is how I discovered what my problem was. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Kathy M. from Michigan, for ending the meeting. And thank you to everyone who shared. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lisa N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning again, everybody, and I'm sorry if there's background noise. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.